Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Hey, baby, won't you look my way? I can be your new addiction.
610 Sports Radio's draft party will be at the Landing in Liberty coming up on April 25th. That's Thursday, the opening night of the draft. Thursday, April 25th. Everyone's invited. Come on out. It's brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. We can all watch the opening round together. The Character Concerns crew will be broadcasting live right here on 610 Sports Radio from the Landing in Liberty. The entire 610 staff will be on hand. Someone's going to walk out of there with $610. All you have to do is make your draft picks. Get as close to, I don't know, Big Lee's mock as you can. And run through that first round and see how you did. Someone's going to win $610 plus some autographed Chiefs merchandise to give away. It's going to be a lot of fun at the Landing in Liberty. Join us on April 25th, the opening night of the draft. Brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think the best way to win that money, Josh, is to fill out your form after the first round is over.
Yeah, it's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
And to have the Chiefs trading up to four.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why people are against the Chiefs trading up to four.
Love it.
You give up three first-round draft picks. Whoop-de-doo. You're going to be picking 32. You give up Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Felix, and a first-round draft pick to trade up to four, you wouldn't do that? And somebody goes, you're just picking and choosing those guys. No, that's 32. That's who you get at 32, where the Chiefs are going to be picking from here to eternity.
Yeah, I don't even need names. It's just two 32s. I don't know. I don't even know who those guys are the next 2 years. I don't care.
Yeah, but if you put it in terms of names, like, would you give up Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Felix, and 32 overall to trade up to get Marvin Harrison Jr.? Of course you would. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Of course you would. But I think people, again, like prospects with draft picks, for whatever reason, we covet what we don't have or the unknown more than we covet the known. And not that Marvin Harrison Jr. is a known, but he's pretty much close to a known, right? And so you get the opportunity to trade up for somebody that's going to be a legit player in your offense. You go ahead and do it. We've got to stop in this town valuing prospects and draft picks. They're all expendable.
Joey Porter. Lewis Cign. I guess Joey Porter technically was 32, but he was second round because it was the Patriots didn't have the pick.
Right.
So anyway, Lewis Cign by the Vikings. Joe Tryon Shoyinka.
The hell are you talking
Buccaneers.
About?
These are 32nd picks of the draft.
Oh, my God.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Yeah. N'Keal Harry. Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're not looking for a corner. Ryan Ramczyk. Emmanuel Ogba. Malcolm Brown. Teddy Bridgewater. Shall I go on?
I mean, the only one that is worth anything on that entire list is Lamar. And he never should have been at 32.
Yeah, and you don't need a quarterback.
Right. So that's who you get at 32 is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you want to trade all of those guys for number four other than Lamar? And that was the rare occurrence that Lamar fell there and Baltimore saw that and they snuck back into the first round and grabbed him.
Occasional quarterback.
But even Teddy Bridgewater, I mean.
Drew Brees.
They ended up trading him.
That was ended up being second round 32.
Yeah, he was second. Yeah. That's back when there was 30. Yeah.
These are the picks 32. I'm like, okay.
I can win without any of those guys. Yeah. Other than Lamar, I can win without any of those guys.
Yeah.
So the moral of the story is, the hell with the picks. No, trade them.
No, I'd move for sure. If they were willing to take that, I'd move in a heartbeat. All right. We joked earlier, Tim Kirchen of ESPN joined us on the show, and you know, we haven't felt the need to call his level of national baseball person for several years.
Right.
Like, what's the reason? I was envisioning, we put a call in. Hey, can we talk to Tim Kirchen? About what? The Royals.
Who?
The hell does he know about the Royals? He's paying attention to the Red Sox and Yankees.
Right.
J.J. Piccolo.
You know what I mean? So I feel like it would have been a wasted effort.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something you don't know about how bad your team has been.
I don't know. You tell me. You're watching them. And actually, so, we're not, Tim. That's
so
why
now
we're
like, this team's like double-digit wins and around first place and looks like they're real. Yeah. Hey, Tim, you want to talk about it? Yeah, sure. Because he even says now it's time to take the Royals seriously.
The Royals are right in the middle of this now. This is, we all know, a weak division, a winnable division. But you look at everyone else around them, why can't they stay in this a long time, especially with the start they're off to? I mean, they've outscored their opponents by 39 runs already. And their ERA, as you guys know, is 2.86. It's the third best in Major League Baseball. The Royals have three shutouts already. They had six shutouts all last season. So the improvement is enormous. It's obvious. And I think it's already time to start taking the Royals seriously as a contender in this division. And I'm not sure a whole lot of people saw that coming even 3 weeks ago.
Giddy up.
Let's go.
And when asked about the rest of the division, he basically pointed out, like, I don't know if the Twins can score runs.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if Cleveland can score enough runs.
And now they've lost Shane Bieber for the year.
Missing a pitcher. Twins are missing Sonny Gray.
Right.
Like, and but he brought up runs a few times. Like, uh-huh. I don't know if they can score enough. I don't know if they can score enough. And he's like, the White Sox. Yeah. He goes, I like Detroit's pitching staff, but I don't know if they can score enough runs.
Right.
Well, the Royals are plus
39.
Run 39,
one of the best in baseball, yeah.
Okay.
Yep, that's what matters. That's the only thing that truly matters in baseball. Well, in any other sport, for that matter. Not all these weird stats that people create when you're losing. It's about the stat that matters most is that run differential. And if you're in that green column, that plus column, you're probably doing some things pretty good. And the thing about the Royals is, too, they don't need to score a lot of runs. They have the second lowest starting staff ERA in baseball at under 3 runs per ballgame. And so you don't have to put the pressure on some of these younger guys in the lineup. Like, I'm sure after the first week of the season, Vinny was wearing that pressure a little bit, right? He was off to a little bit of a slow start, wearing that pressure. Salvi may be wearing that pressure. Michael Garcia now wearing a little bit of that pressure. He hasn't had a hit since they've been at home. I mean, so you've got a team right
Sounds
now.
Sounds like a musician.
Well, I mean,
he hasn't had a hit since
since home. But you've got some young guys in this line. Bobby Witt's still a young guy in this line. They're going to go through their ups and their downs, and now they don't feel like they have to go out there and say, all right, we got to score 7 or 8 runs every night, or we're not going to have a chance to win. If you have starting pitching, everything else takes care of itself. And the Royals right now have starting pitching, the second best ERA in all of baseball when it comes to your starting staff. So I just think right now, as long as the starting pitching continues to do what it's doing and continues to keep you in ball games where you don't have to score a lot of runs, you're going to win a lot of games. Mm-hmm. You're going to win a lot of games.
I wanted to know from Tim as well, is Bobby Witt Jr. a Royals superstar or a baseball one in the making?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, oh, no, baseball knows about him.
Yeah, he's considered, obviously, a star here in Kansas City, our baseball version of Patrick Mahomes in our town, if you will. Is he a legit star now around Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I think he proved that last year, top 10 of the MVP, and that's a hard thing to do when you're on a team that loses 106 games. But when you look at that combination of power and speed, it's breathtaking. When you recognize how young he is, how athletic he is, how he's only going to get better from here, with the bloodlines as good as his, with his dad and everything else, there's no reason to think that the season he had last year isn't going to be even improved upon, which we've already seen so far this year. And I don't think there's any doubt Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be one of the best players in baseball for the next 10 to 15 years. I don't think that's a stretch.
Yeah, baby.
Wow. Call them breathtaking.
Yeah.
Like, geez, slow down.
He is breathtaking. I'm glad he said that too, because
I love that too, that like baseball. No, baseball was pretty convinced last year at the end. He put in his work last year. No, he's an established star now. Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Let's go.
All right, let's go. But I'm glad he said it like that, because that's the way I view it. And sometimes I view it like I'm a little, I don't want to use the term jaded, but a little like too invested, you know, like,
but especially with baseball, because the NFL is so in your face, and we see it, and you know, everybody's involved in everybody else's NFL team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Wherever you're at, like to our detriment, we know everything about everybody's NFL team, but I just wonder, like, yes, guys doing this thing here. Did anybody notice? Cause baseball has a hard time, I think, telling people what's happening other places.
Right.
And so like, I kind of just want to know, are you guys noticing what's going? Have you guys watched? He's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Anybody else see it? And he's like, yeah, they have. I'm like, okay, cool. Because I wasn't sure.
What
doesn't do a good job of that.
You're right. I want to find a way, though, for baseball to make the Josh and Bob of Colorado, you know who Bobby Witt Jr. is, right? Like, because you just don't know everything about everybody else's baseball team. You may know a few things about the Dodgers. You may know a few things about the Yankees. You may know a couple of things about the Cubs. But other than that, you don't know a lot about everybody else's baseball team. And I don't know how major, we've been talking about this for years. How does baseball make itself a universal sport where everybody in every town knows everything about every other baseball player? And I think those days are over, but if there are certain players that everybody who is a baseball fan, no matter what team they root for, knows, and Bobby Witt's part of that category,
that's awesome.
Then you're off to a really good start.
Yeah.
Then that's where you want to be. And I think that's where you need to be now in Major League Baseball. If you can have a guy on your team that the casual fan in a city in a different market knows, then I think you've kind of arrived. Like, people in Minnesota know who Bobby Witt Jr. is. People in St. Louis know who Bobby Witt Jr. is, right? People know who Shohei Ohtani is, Juan Soto, some of the bigger names, you know, in baseball. You know Mike Trout. You know what team he plays for. You know what he does. I think Bobby Witt's now in that category, and that's pretty cool because, guys, I don't know that we've had that player on the baseball side of things really since George Brett was here doing this thing.
Yeah, and I just honestly wasn't sure. Like, baseball's such a regional game now that I'm like, okay, is he known? Is he a known commodity?
I mean, how many truly known around baseball players are there? Like, marketable stars that everybody that's a baseball knows?
A bit,
right?
You're asking the wrong person, because I know that baseball. But also, I just don't think that inherently that's been a great thing that baseball has done.
They haven't, but what I'm getting at, I don't think there are many.
You go to the All-Star, you look at the All-Star game, and you go,
who? I don't know that person. Yeah.
Like, other than, like, Trout and Ohtani and a couple of pitchers.
It's a struggle,
Who have been your guys? You have to explain who they are. I'm going to say who. Patrick Mahomes. Everybody knows who Patrick Mahomes is.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah. Everybody knows who Patrick Mahomes is.
And you know the stars of the NFL. Those are known in every city.
Right.
Baseball's not so much.
No.
So.
But if Bobby Witt can be in that category of Ohtani, Trout, and Witt, okay.
That'd be all right.
We've got one of these stars in baseball. We've got a Juan Soto. We've got a Bobby Witt. We've got a Mike Trout. We've got a Shohei Ohtani. And honestly, you know, other than maybe Juan Soto and maybe Ohtani, like, Bobby Witt's going to be here. He said 10 to 15 more years. Mike Trout's not going to be here 10 to 15 more years.
Sports fans seem to really care about who their NFL voices are. So who are the next wave of NFL broadcasters? Dan Israel, our buddy, executive producer, Chiefs Radio Network, just got done training some of the newbies.
Uh-oh.
He'll join us next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back in, brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. You can find them at RainerKC.com. Join us at the Landing in Liberty coming up on the 25th of April. It's the 610 Sports Radio draft party for opening night. Come watch the draft with all of us. The entire 610 crew will be there. Character Concerns, that's Bink and Kristen Osero, will be broadcasting live during the opening round. But you can fill out a draft pick sheet as well. Guess correctly who's going to go where, and the winner's going to receive $610 plus autographed Chiefs merchandise to give away. It's all brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Hope to see everyone at the Landing in Liberty. Let's watch the opening round together. All right, so I feel like the collective sports fan is often consumed. We've been consuming this show, right, by who's calling the game. Like on TV, we're always like, who's calling the game? We have our thoughts.
Well, we know now we get the number ones.
There's not a lot of questions now. Nance and Romo again. Yeah, I know. There's a little bit of that probably as well. But,
look out, Jim!
But every year, you know, they got 15 crews of broadcasters doing games now, probably more than that. And each year, the NFL puts on a pretty cool event. Like, it's a broadcaster boot camp.
Right.
And they bring in ex-players, some current players that want to learn more about, hey, how do I do this? And
this is where you got your start, right? This is how you got on the sidelines?
I wish. No, this is where the guy that replaces me comes from.
Oh, okay. Got you.
This is where they train somebody to do the job better, I think is what it is. But we do have a tie to this event because Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network, joins us here on 610 Sports Radio. And Dan is always part of the annual broadcaster boot camp, training our next great young broadcaster.
So who's
out
the
there.
Next star?
Dan, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, that's part of the problem, right? They got me training them.
So everybody should be good and ready to go, except if you're trying to tell them how to connect.
That's right.
So who is the next star? Who did you come back to Kansas City going, dang, that guy was pretty good. I'm pretty impressed.
You know, there were a couple of notables at this year's workshop. Andy Dalton was pretty good. Chase Daniel was there. He was pretty good. Justin Pugh, longtime offensive lineman. Yeah. I thought he was probably the closest to being ready. But, you know, the guy who surprised me the most was Manti Te'o. I didn't expect him to be as analytical. We do the classroom, and then we go to an actual on-hands experience where they sit in front of the microphone, they sit in front of the camera. And during our radio version, we had the clip in the Packers-Chiefs game from last season, the regular season game, where Drew Tranquil goes down. And Manti Te'o was the only one to kind of understand that Tranquil had the green dot on his helmet and kind of talk about the significance of that injury. Now, of course, he was a linebacker, so I guess that probably figures. But he was much better than I expected him to be. So we'll see who rises up out of that bunch.
It's kind of an interesting dynamic, though. The league has invested, I guess, time and money, and then encouraged players to become a part of this. This is not the first year. You've been doing this for several years. Do you remember kind of how it all started?
Yeah, this goes back 17 years. Not for me. I haven't been doing it all that time, but 17 years they've been doing these symposiums, and there's all kinds of topics. It's anything that an ex-player might have interest in. For instance, they have one on banking, they have one on finance, one on investing, and the league brings in these experts to come and provide classroom instruction, some hands-on experience, and it also provides some networking for the players. For instance, the music production workshop is conducted by Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, huge producers in the music industry, right? Yeah, so it's a really good opportunity for these guys. However, the most popular one is the broadcast and media workshop.
And how long does this workshop last? I know they call it a boot camp, and I saw Tyrann Mathieu tweeted something like, I got a new respect for these broadcasters after going through this. So, like what is the day like? What is the week like for these guys?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Tyrann came up to me on Tuesday and said, Yeah, man, I'm sorry. I know sometimes I said no. Like, yeah, now you get it, don't you? Now you understand.
Yeah.
So they hit the street, or they hit the L.A. area on Monday. We just have a quick get-together. And then Tuesday starts classroom, Wednesday's classroom, and then Thursday they do all the hands-on stuff. They get in front of the camera. They do a shot. They do a stand-up for television. They do some podcasting. Then they come and do a couple of radio things. One thing we did this year that I thought was much, much better, in previous seminars, we would have them do a 10-minute clip of the radio, and they just get, like, in color analog, you know, when you talk about, you know, doing something like Total Access or Good Morning Football, it's a very long form, lots of time, the guy's asking you questions. However, when you're the color analyst, in a play-by-play situation in a game, much, much faster. You've got to be more concise. You know, brevity is king there, right? And so they just get used to that 10-minute segment, and then it was over. And I think every one of them would always remark, wow, that goes so fast. So this year we did one where I just hammered them. You know, as a producer, I'm in their ear constantly, just really kind of giving the structure of what they need to be, what they need to be doing and saying. Then they went off with some coaching. And then they came back and we did it again. And I think the second try really let us see, first of all, do they have a talent for this? But more than anything, are they coachable? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these guys, you know, they've been coached their whole lives, but the natural athletic talent does them absolutely no good when they're under the mic. So,
did they? Somewhat, so Danon's having PTSD as well.
Yeah, right.
He's like, Danon's out there twitching today about keep it short, man. Keep it short.
It really is, you know, when you have to talk in 12-second segments, it's a different beat.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
Did CBS send Romo back for remediation?
Oh, wow. No? Wow.
Jim. I actually like Tony. Tony did a deal. I did a deal with Tony and Jim Nance and Lynn Dawson for Super Bowl 50, and he was such a nice guy. I have a hard time, but I don't get to listen to him very much because – we're doing our game, right?
Right.
But he's just become in fact, it's interesting because we talked about Tony Romo. Originally, you would tell a color analyst, look, don't look forward. You know, you can say, okay, they've got to do, after this timeout, this is what they kind of should do, but don't try to guess the play. But when Tony first came off the bench into broadcasting, he still read all the defenses. He could do that. He's kind of gotten out of that training, you know. He's going to have to we try to impress on these guys, look, this is a full-time job, man. You're going to have to compete as hard at this as you did to get in the NFL, and some of them are up for that, some of them are not. And I think, like in the Tony Romo's case, he's just gotten to the point where showing up to the games and it's starting to show.
Yeah, I don't want you to name names, but I know that there's been some sessions you've done in previous years where I think you've probably found guys that walked out of there like, yeah, not for me.
Yeah, and that was the case this year as well. You know, they really don't know what they're getting into until they see it behind the scenes. And I think that's the advantage of these workshops. And we tell them early on Tuesday, there's a kind of a Q&A segment. And, you know, one of the things that Michael Robinson and Kurt Warner's told these guys was, look, this isn't for everybody. So try to take these next few days and figure out whether you really have a passion for it. Because if you don't do this. And I agree with that. You know, you really have – it's hard work. As we all know, behind the scenes, you're studying. You got to get players' names right. Nothing – we try to tell them, look, no matter how big a name you are, you could be Patrick Mahomes. But if you go on the air and start mispronouncing names, your credibility is going to go out the door in an instant.
Yeah, people aren't going to stand for that, as we talk with Dan Israel here on 610 Sports Radio. What do you think about the whole Tom Brady thing, though? I mean, like, how does he factor into, you know, what's going to happen this year on the Fox side of things? Because he's now leaning towards, well, he may come back out and play again. So what are you hearing on the Tom Brady front?
Yeah, he's actually – isn't that crazy that he actually said that last week.
Yeah.
I find that fascinating. And you know coaches, you know teams, somebody's going to take a flyer. But I do know he's working with one of the talent consultants that the NFL Network uses to actually be coached for broadcasting, which is good. Mm-hmm. Because we all remember Montana coming out. Montana, outstanding player, not so good a broadcaster. And so Brady is at least preparing for that role, which I think is important. We'll see how good he is. I think he's got some personality. I think one of the things we like to teach these guys is, look, bring your personality, man. You just can't do, you know, you just can't be flat on the air. People want to like you. They want to know you. They want to feel like they know you. And so trying to get them to be themselves and yet still do the job, that's kind of the trick in it all.
But some guys don't have personalities, though, Dan. I mean, sometimes you just run into a guy, like a guy just doesn't have a personality, right? And that's okay. That's who they are. Like, how do you bring out something that may or may not be there?
Those are the guys that can walk out of there going, this isn't for me,
yeah. I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, without saying this to the guys, I mean, that's kind of the – if you're not athletically talented, you're not making it all the way to the NFL. If you don't have a personality, you're probably not going to make it all the way to – because you can't teach speed. You can't really teach personality. A guy can't be funny if he's not funny. And and I feel like those are guys that just aren't. But, you know, there's it's fascinating to me that so many of these guys – and they're not all quarterbacks, right? I thought – Teron Armstead, longtime Saints tackle, signed a 4 or 5 year deal with Dolphins. He was pretty good. I thought his personality came out. He actually told a story. He said he was last season he was driving to the practice and got a flat tire, and he's standing by the side of the road, and Tua Tagovailoa comes his way, so he's waving at Tua as he drives right by him. He just went right by him. He said, I'm a 6'4", 300-pound guy, and he's left-handed, so I ain't hearing any of that blindside stuff from him. Oh, that was pretty funny. These guys just, it's their natural ability to kind of relate to you. We get to see that off the air. Now, so we can coach those guys when they get on the air to bring that, but some of the guys, just don't have it.
Who did you find to replace Josh?
No one. There's nobody
good.
Better.
Good. Good answer.
Mark tape.
Yeah.
Make sure you get that. Get that for me. All right. We're close to the draft. Just a skosh away. What would you like to see the Chiefs get done on the few days of the draft?
I'm an offensive tackle guy, man. I feel like you've got to protect your most valuable asset, and so that's probably my side. I know everybody wants wide receiver. I get it. I understand, but. I don't know. I'm sticking with tackle. How about you guys?
I love that. I love it. I mean, like, the more the people want wide receiver, the more I'm like, I think we got Mahomes.
If there's
okay.
the right guy
like,
there.
If he's there, you can trade up and get that guy. But I'm with you. I think left tackle is a bigger need than we're letting on to believe right now, right?
You know, one of the things we learned from these six-year, seven-year run is that you've got to be healthy. You've got to have a certain amount of luck when it comes to postseason. You got to get all the way to the game healthy, because we all remember the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl. Super Bowl 55 was a disaster because we lost the two tackles. And I feel like if you're going to keep Patrick Mahomes healthy, the only way you do that is to have at least some quality, you know, offensive line play. And so, you know, guys, it was interesting. One of the ladies that coordinates this broadcast boot camp is Ashley Smith, and she came up to me a few years ago and she goes, hey, I'm Ashley Smith, you actually know my little brother. And I said, who's your little brother? And she says, Trey Smith.
Ah!
I don't think Trey's ever been described as little, Ashley.
No.
I'm pretty sure he's your bigger brother.
You know what, though? You want to talk about a guy who quietly may be really good at that after his football career. Trey Smith may be that guy.
Trey may be that guy.
Yeah. No, and that's exactly right, Bob. You know, where they you get to know these guys and you kind of understand, okay, you've got this. You could do this job. If you can learn the mechanics of the job, learn the vernacular of the job, you've got a shot at this.
Dan, thanks for a few minutes. One day you can, you know, better train me, all right?
You got all you need, brother.
See, I'm just
look
getting,
at him.
I'm
just getting, fishing for compliments.
Getting those
sucking
sound
up
bites.
In the off season.
That's right.
That tells you how close we are to actually getting back into the season.
That's probably
very
true.
Far.
Thank you, Dan.
You bet, guys. Have a good morning.
Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network, and again, he's helping to. It's kind of a cool event. I'd love to go.
I would
watch
love to be
it.
There. I'd love to participate. I think it'd be so much fun.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great. I think it's. Hearing him talk about it, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. Sounds exhausting.
Oh, yeah.
Exhausting of everything that they had to go through. Classroom, probably 8 to 10 hours a day, right? And then you have to put it all into action on Thursday.
Let's see how you
When's
do
When's cocktail
guys.
Hour?
Yeah, that's right. I thought I was just coming to L.A. to hang out.
But most of the guys probably think that. And the guys who think that
jump on TV. Let's jump on the radio. It'd be easy.
The guys who think that.
I've done interviews before in the locker room. Exactly. I mean, I can do this. And then they go, whoa, wait a minute.
Hang on a second.
There's a little more to this.
But also, too, having Romo and Brady just kind of walk in the door right afterwards doesn't help things.
Yeah, because a lot of them have to work at it.
Yeah, like a guy like look at Mark Schlereth. He didn't walk in and become a superstar. That guy worked his way up. I think he's a really good analyst. I think he should get more opportunities to do bigger games. I think he's really Greg Olsen, really good too.
All right, Dan said offensive line. You mentioned kind of left tackle. Get a little something on that when we come back next. Get to left tackle in a moment, but Andy Reid spoke yesterday. It was the opening day of they're doing meetings virtually right now. Other teams are reporting in person. It's voluntary workouts. Chiefs have set up a nice little system they seem to like. Pat goes and does Pat camp. They do the things there. They meet.
Hard to argue.
I know. It's hard to argue the success.
All right. If you win another Super Bowl.
There are some players that come back here and do some things, but most of the stuff's virtual, and they go about their day. They got a system. That's right. Their system. So, as I've been saying, you may have counted them out. The Chiefs have not.
I don't really care what they think.
Looks like they could play the final season of Kadarius Toney's rookie deal.
Of course they were going to do that.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, but a lot of people wrote him off. Like, I'm done. They got to go find tons of wide receivers. And I just, as the offseason kind of continued to go, I go, Kadarius Toney's still on this roster, everyone. Kadarius Toney, I'm just saying, they think he's super talented.
Because he is.
And again, Andy Reid said it yesterday.
Yeah, so listen, I mean, Kadarius is arguably one of the most talented guys we have on the team. It's just a matter of staying healthy and being able to stay on the field. And, you know, you always hear about the reliability, accountability, all those things that go into it. And so I'm expecting him to come back ripping and ready to go. And it's great that he's down there working with Pat and putting the work in. So that's, that's a positive. But, yeah. No, listen, we like Kadarius. It's just a matter of having him on the field.
Okay.
I like how he slipped in accountability there.
Yeah, I think he's saying those are the questions too. Like,
absolutely. Yeah. Can you be accountable for your actions? And I don't think Kadarius Toney was last year at all.
I think a lot of people probably put the line item veto through him and done. Done with him.
I put the line item veto through him, but I know I'm wrong doing that. Is that fair?
That's fair. That's absolutely fair. Like, you may be done with him, but I'm like, I don't think the Chiefs are.
Yeah, I don't need to see him again, but I know I'm going to.
Right. That there's going to be another chance. He's still relatively cheap. You know, it's like.
Of course he
is. There's not massive reason to get away other than we've just got to stop doing it. And then I'd been told as well, they keep going back to, he's the most talented guy in that room.
Yeah.
He's super talented. And that's going to play out. All right.
He's going to get an opportunity, and especially with the kickoff thing too, with the landing zone. I mean, it's not like you have to catch the ball. You can just pick it up off the landing zone and run.
Really great in the landing zone.
Yeah.
He's got potential there. All right. Another pressing question.
What a terrible term we're going to use so much this year.
That's awful.
I'm already looking at it like every game.
I know.
I don't know, man. Bucker wasn't getting in the landing zone.
Yeah.
We're going to act like we know what this is.
We'll just pretend like we're experts. So another pressing question.
Mm-hmm.
Is Wanya Morris the left tackle or not? Because I think that does impact where you go in the draft. Also, 32, I think, does impact in the draft. You mentioned, Dan mentioned wanting an offensive lineman. I kind of leaned to Bink a little bit on this, and he's kind of said left tackle, a little bit light.
Mm-hmm.
And at 32, you might be getting other offensive linemen, not necessarily day one left tackles. Okay.
Right.
At that spot, you might have to significantly move.
And as much as we know, like 20 to 32 is basically the second round. If they draft the left tackle at 32, we're still going to look at that as a number one pick at a first day starter right away.
Got to play right away, whatever. That guy might not be available at that spot. Okay. Like the guy that walks in the door. And then Wanya Morris got a little bit of his feet wet last year. What do they think of him? Certainly sounded like Andy Reid yesterday says he has an opportunity.
but certainly not being given the left tackle job.
Coming in and having that experience of playing in four games, he has even a better feel now for this offseason and what's going to be expected of him when he gets back and is put in that spot. So, there's got to be an improvement. There's got to be an urgency there, which I know he feels. So he's back in town here and working. So he's, and when he wasn't here, he was down in Dallas working out. So he where a lot of players go, quite a few offensive linemen are down there doing the same thing. So he was able to get in that mix and work with those guys. So it looks like he's in pretty good shape right now. And I think he understands, you know, what it takes to be an every down guy at that spot. But again, there'll be competition, and he's got to make sure that he takes care of business there.
Definitely doesn't sound like a done deal there, does it?
No, but that's a great message. Like, Andy usually says nothing, right? And that's a lot right there for Andy Reid. That's a message to Wanya Morris. He was speaking to Wanya Morris through the media yesterday. You got to go out there and you got to earn it.
You got
to
show
and you're on the right course.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the ultimate compliment sandwich right there, right? It was the, he only played four games and got some work to do and blah, blah, blah. Then he went and got stronger and he worked out with all these guys. But at the end of the day, there's going to be competition there. I mean, the ultimate compliment sandwich.
I've let you go on your way.
Yeah.
Let's see what you've done. We gave you an off-season checklist.
Yeah.
Let's see what you knocked off. Come back and
see what you do. Yeah, but no way, shape, or form should he be guaranteed the starting left job. So if Andy Reid would have said, no, Wanya's our guy, I would have been like, are we sure about that?
Well, I'd be fine if they were sure of it. I mean, I trust Andy Reid and on offensive line for sure, right? Like, but I
don't know what you really could have taken away from last year to say that would be your guy, you know?
Stuff we don't see.
Yeah, I guess.
Right. But what I didn't hear was, yes, he's the left tackle.
Right. He's not.
Right. So that's still a position that is viable in a draft or maybe still a late veteran or what have you. That is not done.
I mean, we just have not had a steady guy there since Eric Fisher.
Which I kind of wanted to hear. Like, yeah. I want to know if you think it's settled or if it's still unsettled.
Right.
And yeah, I heard there's some candidates, but it's not locked down. Okay.
That's a position that's up for grabs. Right now with that spot.
That's a position that's up for grabs. Could be in the draft, could be elsewhere.
Is left tackle and wide receiver going to be these two that we need every year now going forward? Like it just feels that way, right? Like you get it figured out for a year, you win a Super Bowl, that guy's gone. You get it figured out for a year, you win a Super Bowl, that guy's gone.
And I don't know the answer to this. This is just spitballing top of my head. Where do you get your left tackle from?
Well, I would think the draft. I would want to draft a guy.
But how high in the draft?
Well, you're talking to somebody who likes, Orlando Pace.
Where do left tackles come from? Oh, yeah, Joe Alt looks good. Okay, I can't get the 7.
You're not getting the 7.
Whatever.
These are the hindrances of being the best team in the NFL.
And so is it more difficult to get that guy based on where you draft?
Could be. Oh. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, eventually you're going to have to decide whether you want to pay for a wide receiver or pay for a left tackle on the open market.
I mean, that's not to say you couldn't have a four-year guy that's drafted, but if you're thinking, Orlando Pace or whatever, don't you normally get that guy way high up?
What was he, 1 or 2 overall?
Yeah, I mean, that type, that franchise left tackle.
Look at the last franchise left tackle we had. Where was he picked?
One.
Yes, one. Okay, not so, one. One.
Again, I'm not. I haven't delved into where do left tackles come from.
Their moms.
I'm guessing a lot of them are high draft picks.
Their dads.
I don't think
you could talk about that on the radio, Clean.
Yeah. Well, Josh, here's how it works. A woman has a baby, and he turns into a left tackle.
Right. That's how you got Joe Alt.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Dad was pretty good. Son may be better. Dad was really good.
Dad was good. Good genes.
Yeah.
Now, okay. So
who's got a kid?
Can you solidify that without being higher up in the draft?
Does Orlando Pace have a son that's ready to play?
Yeah. Had they signed Trent Williams?
Yeah.
Which they were close to.
Right.
Well, that would have been solidified then, but.
And again, they didn't get him because he just wanted to be in San Francisco.
Correct.
His heart was there.
They gave it a shot with Orlando Brown. Clearly wasn't the guy.
Who?
Easy Money University.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. There's a couple of Orlando Brown truthers out there, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, is he better than what they have right now? Yeah, probably.
Well, they don't have anybody.
It wasn't worth the money.
Yeah.
He wasn't worth that money. No. So, yeah, I didn't think he was worthy of paying. You were going to go on to the next. They haven't found the next yet.
Right.
Unless Wanya Morris takes a jump, which I hope he does.
I'm going to tell you what.
I hope Wanya Morris is the left tackle, and he's shown a lot of improvement because that takes a need off your list.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather they already had that guy in-house? I would.
I'm going to tell you, one of our listeners has a son that plays at Baker, Tony Kennedy. He's a left tackle. His nickname is Pancake down there because he pancakes everybody.
I like it.
And he's going back for like his COVID year at Baker. The kid is like 6'7" and mauls people. That's our future left
there
tackle. He's playing at Baker right now. Go get him, Brett.
There you go. Is he in the portal?
No, he's staying at Baker one more year.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
He gets to take one class, play another year of football. Could you imagine playing a sport in college and only having to take one class? How cool would that have been? I went to college. I think I took one class.
Well, I know there was another one the other day. It was Shedeur Sanders.
Shedeur
at Colorado.
Sanders.
He's just attended his first in-person class at Colorado. I'm like, what?
And showed up with no supplies.
And I thought, man, I don't think I'd have graduated college.
Oh, hell no.
If it was just, hey, just do it on your own.
No chance.
You don't have to show up. You have to show up to classes.
Right.
Just do it all on your own. I wouldn't have made it.
So
would you have made it?
No. That's why I don't understand like the remote work. Like as much as I'm introverted and I like that alone time, I also like being around people and, you know, corresponding with ideas and talking. And like, I don't know that I would have been disciplined enough. I'd look at my watch and I'm bored, start drinking. You know, I don't know how people can do the remote work and just work from home all day. I'd drive myself nuts.
I skipped my share of classes and all, but like.
I never skipped one class, Josh.
Statute of limitations is long gone. We're good.
Right. And my mother may be listening. Send me a check to.
I'm just saying, I skipped my fair share, but if it would have just been all not attending, I don't.
Could you have imagined?
No.
Could you have imagined trusting yourself in your teenage years to do a class online?
No. And I get Shedeur Sanders maybe a little bit different. It's like the fanfare that goes on with some of these high level athletes. I think it makes it more difficult to be a normal student these days or what have you. But
sure.
So I'm not, and the system accommodates it now too. So
yeah, you're able to do it, but yeah. I mean, I see some of these high school kids can't figure out how to do online classes in high school. I mean,
I don't think I went to college and they're like, hey, if you want, you can just do this one online if you want. Oh, really? That wasn't really an option then. But I don't know that I'd have made it either. I think I had a hard enough time. We're in broadcasting, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, there's no way I would have trusted myself.
If you missed any of the show today, our chat with Tim Kirchen of ESPN had a lot of good things to say about the Royals now and moving forward. Bill DeWitt, the president of the Cardinals, the St. Louis Cardinals, joined us, interestingly enough, to try to push for sports gambling in Missouri.
Again, why he wanted to come on in Kansas City is for you to interpret.
A big joined us as well. Dan Israel joined us as well. Full show today. Thanks to Nathan Williams for putting it all together today and for getting all those podcasts up. More importantly, they're available at 610sports.com and the Odyssey app. Cody and Gold are next on 610 Sports Radio.
Talk to you later.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.